Today we are on Kaosan Road, and this is where I came 10 years back, the first time, when I was walking through the streets early in the morning, and I saw a lot of monks walking this way. And I stood by around this area, just around this corner, to see what was going on. And I noticed that the local people came and bought ready-made food to offer to the monks. And I watched and watched and watched, and I saw a lot of people just park their cars, stop, buy the food, offer up to the monks, make a prayer. Some of the monks will say a benediction, some of the monks will fold their hands, and then they'll have their little assistants. And I noticed that some monks have two or three bags of food, because a lot of people want to come to make offerings, since there's not enough monks in this area. This happens every day in Thailand, where you get up early in the morning, and the monks will go on their rounds for food. This is their tradition. And I just asked Juan to ask one of the sellers, if it rains, will the monks come out? And the sellers told Juan just now that if it rains, they definitely will come out, because if they don't come out, there's no food. Nothing in the monastery. It's different than a Tibetan monastery, all right? So I brought you all out here today to experience traditional dana making for the monks. I know all of us had about 2-3 hours of sleep, and we rushed out here to do this, but I thought it's important that we learn something. We can always sleep later when we go back. Now, this tradition came how? I'm going to give a little explanation now, because the monks have not come out now. How did this tradition arise? Buddha was the first monk. And when Buddha traveled on his horse, and he crossed the river, and he cut his hair and exchanged his royal clothes with that of his chariot driver. And the chariot driver's clothes he put on. Then that was the first step of him taking ordination. That was him taking ordination. So what happens is he pulled up his royal long hair and he cut it off. Then he took off his, and it said that when he threw his hair, the gods of the highest realms came to receive his hair because it's a relic. And then he took off his clothes and gave it to his chariot driver, Chandra. And that chariot driver is said to be Trijanaramchi, one of his first incarnations. And then he took his chariot driver's clothes and put it on. And he became a mendicant. And he went out to the forest with no more jewelry, no more hair. And he went out to the forest with no more adornments, no more any signs of being a prince, although his stature and his look and his charisma was that of royalty. Then he went out to the forest to meditate. He went out to the forest to practice asceticism. And then he adopted the begging bowl. When Buddha first held the begging bowl and he went out to beg for food, that was a sign to the Buddhist world. We need to put our pride down and beg for our sustenance. Now, in today's world, when you beg, either they say that you are down and out in your luck, or you're lazy, or you're a street person, a homeless person. So generally, when you beg, in today's world, people look down on you. But in the ancient world, in India, in its spirituality, when you actually beg and you wear that kind of clothes, it's okay. When you wear that kind of clothes, it's actually a sign of spirituality. We let them pass by. So what happens is in ancient India, when you cut your hair and you wear the clothes of a mendicant or a ascetic or a beggar, people actually praise you. People actually respect you. People actually are in awe of you. And then when you go out and you wander around in the forests, in the rivers, and you meditate, then you come to the village to beg for food, everybody will prepare a portion of their food to offer to the mendicants, M-E-N-D-I-C-A-N-T. So what happens is, it was a lay person or householder or an ordinary person's way of collecting merits. So many normal, ordinary lay people could not go out and wear monk's robes and meditate intensely in the forest. But to make offerings to these people was a participation in their spirituality. So what happens was in ancient India, whether you were a Hindu mendicant, a Jain mendicant, or a Buddhist mendicant, nobody cared. as long as you were an ascetic, people wanted to make offerings. All right, now I want everybody to pay attention. This is very important. So you're here to learn. So what happens is, whatever religion you were in ancient India, Jain, Hindu, or Buddhist, when you don the robes or you don the outfit of a mendicant or an ascetic, people respected you. And people will look at you as an object of aspiration. And what's the aspiration? To let go of worldly attachments. To let go of our attachments to family and to pleasures and to fun and to making money and to appearance and to pride, parties, the ego. It's basically letting go of one's ego. So what happens is, if you cannot be one of those mendicants, the next best thing was to provide something for them. That's one. Number two. What stairs you are? When Buddha became a monk, he gave vows to a monk. When he gave vows to a monk or monks, he started the tradition. When he started the tradition of giving vows to monks, you have four root vows. Okay, hold on, let him pass. You have four root vows. The four root vows, along with the auxiliary vows, are what a monk holds. Okay? Based on the vows of a monk, if you respect the Sangha, if you make offerings to a Sangha, if you provide the necessities of a Sangha, it is considered great spiritual merit for you, based on the vows. The difference between a monk and a nun and a layperson is that the monk and nun have taken vows of renunciation and to focus 24 hours a day on their meditation. So, according to the vows, if you show respect to a monk, if you make offerings to a monk, you are making offerings to his vows. So if you make offerings to the Sangha, you are collecting the merits of being involved with their spirituality. In countries who do not know about Sangha, the Sanghas are mistreated. The Sanghas are not respected. The Sanghas are gossiped about. The Sangha is talked about. The Sangha is put down. The Sangha is not shown the proper respect. What's the effect? There may be cases that some Sangha act in a way that is questionable. But you cannot take one Sangha's behavior and generalize it for all Sangha. So what happens in countries that they do not know the value of Sangha, the Dharma cannot grow. Because the Buddha says wherever there is four Sangha members or more, the Dharma in that place will grow. So therefore, we are as ordinary people or seekers of spirituality supposed to make offerings, if you want to know the truth, supposed to make offerings to the Sangha, not take. In Tibetan tradition, in Thai tradition, in ancient Buddhist tradition or any Buddhist tradition, you're not allowed to take anything from the Sangha. Nothing. The worst is to have your mind focused on taking from the Sangha, whether it's food, whether it's money, whether it's getting something from the Sangha, wishing to acquire something from the Sangha, is a very negative type of karma. Why? It will increase your grasping. If the Sangha offers you money, if the Sangha gives you help, if the Sangha gives you assistance for any reason, and it is for you to do Dharma work, and your Dharma work is sincere, and you receive it with two hands, you receive it graciously, you receive it with a lot of gratitude, that's a little different. It's still not correct, but it's a little different. But if you actually wish to take from the Sangha, wish to get from the Sangha, wish to even cheat the Sangha, you actually throw your spirituality out the window. Why? If the whole country of Thailand or Buddhist countries follow the system of Lord Buddha to make offerings to the Sangha. And that collects merit. Then if you take from the Sangha, it's a demerit. People don't want to think of the opposite of what they do. Example, if you say nice words to people, if you show a pleasant face to people, you collect merit. You instill Dharma in their mind and you represent the Dharma well. Similarly, if you show a black face, if you're always temperamental, moody, you collect demerit. Why? Because that's the opposite of cultivation of Dharma in your mind stream. And if you're working for the Sangha, if you're having anything to do with the Sangha, if you're involved with the Sangha, if you show disrespect, if you show a black face, if you disturb the Sangha's mind, it's considered very detrimental to your spiritual practice. Why? The Sangha is your third refuge. How can you show a black face to the Sangha? Then people say, well, I didn't show a black face to the Sangha. If you show a black face to the entourage of the Sangha, same thing. Same thing. What's the difference? If you show a black face to the Sangha student, if you show a black face to the Sangha's disciples, you also create unhappiness. So any negative actions you show to the Sangha is contrary to your three jewels refuge. So therefore, if you think about it, the Sangha takes on the vow to not make money, to not engage in pleasures, to not chase worldly pursuits. And they wear the robes and they wear the clothes of a person who has 100% adopted the practice of renunciation and to cultivate spiritual qualities. And if they cultivate these spiritual qualities, who benefits? You benefit. Why? Because when they cultivate the spiritual benefits that Buddha has taught, they are a living repository of the Buddha's teachings. When they're a living repository of the Buddha's teachings, you want them to focus their time 100% on giving Dharma or sharing Dharma with others. If that person who has become ordained can focus on the Dharma 24 hours, 7 days a week, and their whole lives, then you will get a pure member of the Sangha who can teach by words, by example, and by the way they live. So one Sangha member can inspire many, many, many beings to have renunciation and to achieve spiritual qualities. Because this Sangha member has dedicated their lives to the pursuit of spiritual practice, if you support them, you are contributing to their spiritual growth. If you give one meal, that day that their mind is full, that day when their stomach is full, and they can meditate and they can practice, is one step closer to their spirituality. Then their enlightenment, their ultimate goal, was achieved due to your contribution. Does everybody understand? They achieved what they achieved due to your contribution. So therefore, according to the Buddha's tradition, this is not made up by monks, this is made up by Buddha. According to the Buddha's tradition, we are to provide Sangha with a resting place, a teaching place, robes, food, basic requirements. And people who are spiritual fight, not literally fight, aspire and generate the wish to make offering to the Sangha. Why? Knowing the benefits. So therefore, when we can offer a meal to the Sangha, if we can offer respect to the Sangha, if we can offer clothes to the Sangha, if we can offer robes, if we can offer bowls, shoes, if we can offer housing, places to preach the Dharma, it's very powerful. Temples arose from the need that Sangha needed a place to convene, to chant together, to do their vows together, sobjong, which is a confession of vows every month, and they convene for a place to give Dharma talk. In the past, during Buddha's time, and after the Buddha, they taught in the forest, they taught in the jungles, they taught in the villages, they just taught. But the need for a temple arose because of the monsoon season. During the monsoon season, when it rains 3-4 months nonstop, they created shelters for monks to teach. From that tradition, temples arose. And from that tradition of having temples, all the countries all around developed their special, unique way of building temples. So therefore, why do we take care of the Sangha? Why do we show respect to the Sangha? Why do we control ourselves in front of the Sangha? Why? Because the Sangha offers us an opportunity to control our body, speech, and mind. If we're normally a greedy person and we want money, 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 that's all we want is money. Then when we're near a Sangha, a monk, a nun, a guru, we shouldn't think like that. We shouldn't look at the guru and say, how much can I get? How much can I get from this person? How much can I take from this person? How much can I make from this person? You destroy your spirituality. How can you respect and take refuge and prostrate to something and then turn around and say, give me money? Give me gifts. Give me this, give me this, give me this, give me this. One of the most detrimental acts for a layperson is to take from the Sangha. And that creates what? Poverty. You'll always have difficulty making money in the future. You'll always have difficulty acquiring money and livelihood. Every time you make money, it'll be gone. Every time you try to get something, it'll be gone. It's taking from the Sangha is equivalent to stealing from the altar. If you go to a temple and steal the money from the altar, steal the incense, steal the bowls, same thing. What's the difference? Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha. What's the difference? So if taking from the Sangha is equivalent from stealing from the Gomba, then stealing and taking would help you to become impoverished, will help you to not achieve your goals. And if your negative karma is very strong, financially you will grow, but spiritually you will become impoverished. When people talk about spirituality, you turn your head. When people talk about virtue or compassion or good things, you turn your head, you can't listen. Even if you listen respectfully, you cannot practice. You find your mind more and more and more and more difficult to practice. Why? Whatever you're suffering is no one's fault. It's your fault. You cannot experience what you did not collect. You cannot experience what you did not do. So for us to blame this person, be angry at this person, get this person back, show a black face to this person, for us to do that only shows how incredibly stupid we are and how incredibly dumb that we didn't follow Dharma. Because why? Whatever sufferings you have is a sign you didn't practice Dharma. Whatever sufferings you create is a sign you didn't practice Dharma. The minute you say, I don't like this person, 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 or you show black face or you show a bad attitude, is a very clear sign. You are not practicing Dharma. Very clear sign. So what's the karma for that? Having heard the Dharma, having heard the Buddha's teachings, having listened to your teacher, having been near a Sangha, and yet you still act in a way opposite of the Dharma, creates the karma for you to not be near the Dharma in the future. That's the karma. That's not something I made up. So today we are here in this area to make monks offerings. And I wanted to give you all a talk on the significance. I will add more to this video. I want to give a little significance to this so that we know what's going on. So you can see that lady already. She's holding up the offerings and she's preparing herself to make offerings to the Sangha. So if you make offerings to the Sangha and your body in such a good posture and you're showing great respect, you know what happens? The object of respect is the Sangha. And you collect the merit of good body action. In the future, you will be born with good body action. You will be able to be born controlling your body, speech, and mind. You will be born with a good body, a nice body. When you show respect to the Sangha or to others, you're using your body to show respect. You will collect the merits of having a good body, a strong body, and a body that is you can control, that it does not control you with desire. If you're disrespectful to the Sangha, if you're disrespectful to other people, you collect the demerit to not be able to control your body, to be born with a body that people look at, they are repelled. All right, here's the first Sangha member coming already. Observe and watch how it's done. The lady has removed her shoes. She never touches the monk. And she carefully, with great respect, makes offering to the monk. Now she wishes for the monk to bless her. and ask her for benediction. In countries that Buddhism is strong, that's how people treat the Sangha. They don't take from the Sangha, they don't want from the Sangha, they don't try to get from the Sangha, they show great respect for the Sangha. Wherever respect is shown to the Sangha, the Dharma will grow. Therefore, if the Sangha gives you instructions, if the Sangha gives you an order, if the Sangha asks you to do something, you should never run away. You should never say, I cannot. You should never say, difficult. Why? Because when the Sangha tells you to do something, if you remember, you create awareness. And your mind will be blessed because you follow the Sangha's instructions. If the Sangha has the power to bless you, then you that also when you hurt the Sangha, it creates a demerit of hurting yourself. So you think of that, about that carefully. Therefore, for people who have don't know anything about Sangha, who don't understand about Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha, who don't know, this is a precious opportunity for you to learn. Maybe some of the words I say to you is foreign, is different, maybe difficult for you to absorb, but that's the truth. It is the truth. Which one of you will become a monk? Which one of you will become a nun? Which one of you will give up your attachment to everything you are attached to in this world and go 100% into practice, study, and teaching and bearing the burdens of others? Which one of you will do that? For those who do that, we respect. For those who do that, we support. For those who do that, we give our full support. Why? They are doing something we cannot do. They are doing something that is necessary. And they are doing something that will benefit us directly and indirectly. So therefore, when we build monasteries for the Sangha, in modern times, raising funds for the temple. When we build for the Sangha, when we support the Sangha, when we make sure the Sangha is taken care of, when we show respect to the Sangha, you are indirectly making the Dharma grow. And if you look in Buddhist countries, when people are near the Sangha, they never fold their hands in front of the Sangha. They never sit there and crack their heads, stretch their limbs. Never. They never sit there and fall asleep in front of the Sangha. Or they never sit there and slouch. Or they never sit there and walk in a funny way or show anger or black face. Why? The Sangha gives you an opportunity to control your body, speech, and mind. If you don't control your body, speech, and mind, then what will you experience? It controls you. And after a while, you just become a negative. You spiral into a negative, angersome, careless person who doesn't care about anyone but themselves. And that will spiral into something even worse. Why? When you have the opportunity to practice, you don't practice. And when you practice in front of a Sangha, a Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha, a real Sangha, it is a great blessing. Why? Whatever you do in relation to the Sangha, you will collect a special type of merit. Why? Because they're wearing yellow robes? No. By the power of their vows. Where did the vows come from? The vows came from their teacher, their abbot. That came from their abbot. That came from their abbot. That came from their abbot all the way back 2,556 years to Lord Buddha. Buddha himself, from his golden lips, gave the vows to the first disciples, the five first disciples. From those five disciples, they gave the vows to the next set of disciples, the next set of disciples, until the monk vows descend now. In Thailand, they still have a tradition where when a boy is becoming a monk, they'll dress him up like a prince. They'll put on makeup, they'll put on jewelry, they'll put on royal clothes, and they have flowers, and they take him to the temple like a royal prince. And then when they arrive at the temple, they take off the royal clothes, they cut the hair, they remove the ornaments, and then they put on the robes of a monk, and they go in front of the abbot to take the vows. Why? To symbolize what Buddha did. Buddha was a prince who gave up everything to become a monk. Imagine if Buddha decided to stay with his family. If he stayed with his attachments, he stayed with himself and his fears, none of us would be here. Nobody would be here. So today, I want to bring you all here. And you should feel very fortunate that today, for once, you can collect some merit. And why you're making the merit, what you're doing. And when you make the offerings to the monks, you don't stand there and block the monk forever. While you're holding offering, you make a motivation. In this life, in all lives, May I be able to support the Holy Sangha? May I be able to build temples? May I be able to build resting places? May I be able to offer robes? May I be able to listen to the Dharma? May I be able to learn the Dharma? May I be able to practice the Dharma? May I be able to help disseminate the Dharma? And in this life and future lives, may I never be separated from the Sangha, ever. May I always be near the Sangha and please the Sangha, and please especially the elder Sangha members. And by me doing this, may the Holy Sangha in this world never diminish. Because the Holy Sangha not diminishing is a symbol of Buddhism or Dharma not diminishing. You should make that vow. And at the same time, you should think, whatever negative karma I've collected since now, which is always, I collect negative karma every single day because of my greed, because of my grabbiness, because of my laziness, because of my selfishness. Every day I collect negative karma and I make it difficult for others. By making this offering, may I purify my negative karma. And if we have done any business in the past, by wrong livelihood, by making offerings to the Sangha, may I purify my negative karma of wrong livelihood. You make an offering. Then you should also make an offering of food that is, may I gain bodhicitta. May I gain the realization of bodhicitta. May I gain shunyata. May I gain renunciation. Make the offerings. You can make any wish you want, because why? Making an offering to a real Sangha is making offerings to the Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha. Any of the three jewels. So whatever offerings you make to the Sangha, the merit you collect, you may dedicate back to whatever aspirations you have. You could have been dedicated to somebody who has died. This person I love very much has died. This person has harmed me very much. I make offerings to the Sangha for them. May they never be separated from the Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha, and you offer it to the Sangha. So therefore, every time we hear Dharma teachings, our mind should turn. And when our mind is turned, after we are not in the presence of the Sangha, we should keep our mind turned that way. We don't turn, and then when we're away from the Sangha, we turn back. Then when we're near the Sangha, we turn this way. Then when we go away, we turn back. In actuality, it's a little bit uncomfortable for me to say, but I'm going to have to say it, because it is the truth. When you are dealing with a Sangha, the whole purpose of you dealing with a Sangha is to create the merits and the circumstances for you to collect merit of your body, speech, and mind, and for you to discipline your body, speech, and mind. So the Sangha gives you an instruction that they have thought out. You should say, yes, I will do it, Reverend Sir. Not debate back and forth, debate, debate, play, debate, debate, this is important, that's important. What's more important than the Dharma? And if you have a teacher, what's more important than a teacher? Why would you debate back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth? What is it, a show of contest of wisdom, or who's smarter? So if you have a teacher, you don't debate back and forth. If your teacher gives you instruction, say, yes, I will follow. Simple as that. You debate back and forth, then you obviously don't respect the wisdom of your teacher. Then in the presence of the Sangha, you show good body action. When you show good body action in the presence of the Sangha, okay, that is to be extended out to everyone. You don't show good body action in front of the Sangha, and then when the Sangha's not around, you go back to your unkind body gestures or negative body gestures. The reason you show good body action in front of the Sangha is to say, oh, I can show good body action. I can control myself. I can discipline myself. And then you extend that discipline to 1 hour after you've met the Sangha, 2 hours, 3 hours, 1 day, 2 day, 3 day. So showing discipline to the Sangha is not a practice of saying this person is a god and I need to worship them. Showing respect to the Sangha is to train you, to discipline you into your body, speech, and mind being cultivated. So when you're in the presence of the Sangha and you show respect, when you show respect, you're supposed to take that respect and cultivation to the next person and the next person, next person. How could you be in front of the Sangha like this, right? And then you turn around and act like that with people. How could you? If you're like this with one Sangha, with another Sangha, and another Sangha, you've trained your body to be humble. You've trained your body to be disciplined. Then when you're not in the present Sangha, you say, oh, I remember I can do that in front of the Sangha, so I act this way and I act this way. You don't be nice in front of the Sangha, make offerings, and turn around and be greedy and grabby around other people. The whole reason you act in such a good way in front of the Sangha is to cultivate body, speech, and mind discipline. All right, let's go make offerings. Oh. Okay, whatever you guys wish to buy, keep track, you pay for it. All right, you find out how much, and you make a good offering. One monk can receive as many offerings as possible. It's not they're full or not. It's a matter of making merit from your side. Example, if you go to the temple, if you offer a lot of offerings, you can't say, oh, if I offer a little, the Buddha is full. All right? Make your wishes and make your motivations. The causes for you to receive is to generate the merits to receive. All right, very important. You observe. Offering. You're allowed to move their items. Be careful. Inside the back. They are not being as mobbing. They prepare offerings, offering so many monks. Very virtuous, very lucky. Make offerings. You make sure they call the monks for them, huh? Here. Call him. Here, another offering. Get out of the way. Don't block the monk. Offer and then get out of the way. Good. Offering? Offering? No more. Oh, they're very slow. Go up. Don't miss them. Open this. Old man, open.
ำไม่ให้ได
้ Okay, how much was it?
It's total 14490.
Okay, it's 14490. So 1,500 ringgit. You guys can contribute what you want. When you contribute, you shouldn't think to yourself, oh, I'm doing the monk a favor, or I'm doing Rinpoche a favor, I'm doing anyone a favor. It's for your own merit. From the time you were born till now, you think carefully, how much generosity have you done? How much giving have you done? From the time you were born till now, how much giving have you done? Has your mind been focused on giving or getting? Has your mind been focusing on giving or trying to get from people? If your mind has been getting, then the result of getting will be not getting. If your mind has been giving, your mind will be at peace. You generate the parameter of generosity. Also, whatever you wish to get, it will come to you. You will acquire with little effort or no effort. So unless the Buddha is wrong, by giving, one is creating negative karma or one is wasting money, then by giving, you generate a tremendous amount of merit. So today is, I wanted you guys to experience, this is what I used to do all the time. Whatever Buddhist country I go to, when there's monks, I'll make offerings all the time. And for me, I don't feel a pinch, I don't feel any kind of stinginess, because this is for my spiritual benefit. The whole action of, actually, we should prepare the food, we should clean, and we should go out and offer. In villages, everybody cooks a little bit, and they set it aside, and in the morning when the monks come, they make offerings. It's a ritual every single day. It's a very beautiful ritual. In Tibetan monasteries, we can't do that because of the snow, so the monks can't walk outside. So the lay people go to the monasteries to make offerings. So in Tibetan monasteries, develop that we go to the monastery, we prepare everything, and then we make offerings to the monks. In a Thai system, because the weather is very good, they come out in the traditional manner. The point is making offerings. So you should think to yourself right now, today, I have done a great deed. I have experienced something cultural of Thailand, which is very, even though Thailand is so modern, although Thailand is still growing and it's metropolitan, we can see something so ancient, we can see something so pure and something so holy and so religious. So we're experiencing some Thai culture this morning, which is a beautiful culture because it's a Buddhist culture. And if you notice, a lot of young schoolboys would come and help assist the monks carry their items, and they carry it back and they go to school. Or some schoolboys will stop and make offerings and go to school, if you notice. Imagine if our kids in Malaysia or anywhere in the world grew up with this system of giving, not taking, of sharing, of showing respect, of showing good body language. Imagine when they grow up how different it would be. That's why when spirituality is given to our children, they grow up different. When spirituality is not given to our children, they grow up with a lot of materialism, a lot of attachment. So today, by you showing respect, removing your shoes, whatever, however you showed your respect, bowed and put the items down, you should do that with every single person. By doing that to a Sangha member, you create the causes. You create the causes to become humble with every person and to be patient with every person. Why? Because you make your body bow, you fold your hands to show respect. To who? To a pillar, to the sky, to a door? No, to a Sangha member. So when you do it to a Sangha member, whatever actions you do toward a Sangha member creates the karma for it to return. Otherwise, there will be no point to have Sangha members. The second thing is you create a generosity. By offering food to the Sangha, you yourself will always acquire what you require. You will acquire what you require in the future for your spiritual practice. Why? Because you're sustaining another's spiritual practice. So in the future, when you wish to engage in spiritual practice, what you need will come to you. Why? Because you gave others what they needed on their spiritual path. Does everybody understand? The second thing. The third thing is, you have made offerings to the third of the three jewels. The Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha. You have made offerings to the third of the three jewels this morning. You should consider yourself, how lucky I am to come on this trip. How lucky I am to have an explanation of what's going on. How lucky I am to participate. How lucky I am to see real monks, real Sangha, real offerings, real tradition happening. How fortunate and lucky I am that I can be here and make offerings. And then you should think to yourself, in this life and in future lives, You should think to yourself, in this life and future lives, may you do this again. Again and again and again and again. You should think to yourself, in this life and future lives, may you be able to serve the Sangha again. May you be able to help the Sangha again. May you never be separated from the Sangha again. You should think like that very strongly. Then right now, by making offerings, showing respect, by controlling our body, speech, and mind, and what you should do now finally is to rejoice. Whatever I have done this morning is really Dharma. Whatever I have done this morning is different than all the other mornings. Think of every single morning you woke up, what did you do? Every single morning you woke up, what have you done? The minute you wake up was a virtue. Did you think about money? Did you think about food? Did you think about going someplace, plans, some fun? What did you do every single morning of your life? Every single morning. You were unhappy with someone, you generated some anger somewhere, lazy. What did you do every single morning of your life until now? Was it virtue or was it non-virtue? I'm not saying this. Everything I've spoken about since this morning till now is not to criticize you, it's to make you think. Since you woke up every single morning of your life, what have you been thinking of? And today has been different. Today, you are able to wake up and think, I will make offerings. Today, you are able to wake up and think, I will make merit. Today, you are able to wake up and say, I will make offerings to three jewels. Today is very different than other days. So think, I have done something very good today. And from your heart, rejoice and feel happy. Why? When you rejoice in your deed, the deed is sealed. All right? Think like that very, very strongly. Today, you have done Dharma work. And in the future, may you be able to support the Sangha. May you be able to help the Sangha. May you, by supporting and helping the Sangha, may you yourself one day aspire to become the Sangha. May you yourself one day become a fully enlightened being. Think like that very strongly and do a dedication. May one day I may become a fully enlightened being. Think like that very strongly. May all my negative deeds and negative actions I've done, feeding myself, grabbing money for myself, thinking about myself, always me, be eradicated by serving the Sangha. All my unhappiness has come from thinking about myself. Any disharmony has come about because of thinking about myself. Any unhappiness I have is because of thinking about myself. And still I think about myself. Still I treasure myself. Still I put myself above others. And I still make more negative karma because I always think about myself the wrong way. Until now, me focused on myself, thinking about myself, has made all the problems for myself. Disease, unhappiness, disharmony, disrespect, anger, and laziness, self-indulgence, this anything that creates unhappiness for myself and others. I did it because I didn't practice the Dharma, because I didn't put the Dharma in my mind. So I regret deeply from my mind, and I dedicate that I will hold my body, speech, and mind. I will hold morality and ethics. I will transform my laziness that has gotten me nowhere, nowhere but shame. I will transform my anger that has gotten me nowhere but disrespect from other people towards me. I will get rid of my greediness and selfishness, which has made people look down upon me and know that I'm just after money. I will transform. I will transform my total laziness. Why? Because laziness doesn't help me or serve me or anyone else. May I become a fully enlightened being. 当所今年稍微给往的，长长着我困难刚把当，结巴结上龙山着吧。但比行不灵的沙些说，将军心就人不接，马前帮人几句。下半年把那帮羊过年过年陪我说，冬里通话人不接，马前帮人几句句。下半年把那帮羊过年过年陪我说，给往的女的到，老马上去追根的，着我几根毛毛把的，沙拉锅巴说。 去接家婆从家婆，去接南婆陪我来，去接前往前往当，去接马路走马说，当当接神都顺当，这位做你老爹呢，接我路上抓把爷，电报有人把绝技，刚的这位阔为新疆的，变的不用马路军位，前年是往电信家做爷，下辈子都把的天绝技。 So think to yourself. Now that you've sealed your merit, today was a morning of virtue. Today was a morning of good luck. Today was a morning of thinking of others. Today was a morning of benefiting my own spiritual practice in the highest way. How lucky I am. Think that like that very, very strongly now. May I continue this type of mind. May I continue this type of generation. May I continue this type of practice. May I continue this type of generosity. So, if making offerings to one monk collects so much virtue, imagine making offerings to many monks. And making offerings to monk isn't just money or food. It can be service. Imagine if you make monks offerings to monks, it's of this benefit. Imagine if you help a center, or if you work for a Dharma center, or you work for a temple. Imagine if you have the fortune to work for your teacher, work for the greater benefit of the Sangha. Imagine you're able to build a gompa, or build a Dharma place where people can learn and practice. So benefiting one monk, if serving one monk and generating merit from one monk you can do that. Imagine if you do this for a whole center. So you think how lucky you are to work for a center. How lucky you are that you're supported by the Dharma. Today, although you don't have the vows, your sustenance, your stipend, your food comes from the Dharma. Just like these monks. But these monks abstain, celibacy, lying, stealing, killing, and all your attachments, they abstain. And they get stipend from the Dharma. Today's a stipend for them to eat. All of you get stipend for the Dharma. But are you the same as these monks? If you are getting your food and clothes and staying place from the Sangha, from the Dharma, just like these monks, then you should act like these monks. Because why should you get stipend? What do you do? How do you deserve it? And if you work for the Dharma, you should think, I'm just like these monks. I work for the Dharma. How lucky I am. So when you're working for the Dharma, your attitude should be good. You shouldn't be lazy. You shouldn't be stuck up. You shouldn't be arrogant. You shouldn't think you're doing Dharma a favor. Today, by making offerings to the monk, you are not doing them a favor. You are doing yourself a favor. If you are doing them a favor, then doing Dharma practice should be doing Buddha a favor. If you do Dharma practice and you're not doing Buddha a favor, when you're making offerings to monks, you shouldn't be doing them a favor. If you're not doing the monks a favor, how could you be doing the Dharma center a favor? So we shouldn't walk around in an arrogant manner thinking that we are the best and I'm doing you a favor and I only have the skills. Silly. You have the skills, you serve the Dharma, you benefit. You have the skills, you don't serve the Dharma, you go serve yourself just for money, you lose. Very simple, you lose. Never bargain with the Dharma. Never show black face to the Dharma. Never show bad action to the Dharma. Never show laziness to the Dharma. Never. Why? This is your one chance to practice. If you lose this chance, you will not get this chance easily again. So you didn't do the monks a favor. You didn't do Buddha a favor. You didn't do Dharma a favor. But they did you a favor, because the monks hold the vows for you to make offerings to generate the merit to become attained. Same as when you're serving a center or a temple or your teacher, you don't do your teacher a favor. So today's experience should make you humble, make your ego go down. And not only today, every day. Why? Why should you put your ego down only in front of the monks? Why? Why should you put your ego down only in front of the monks? Is it only in front of the monks you generate spirituality? Definitely not. From after being with the monks, you should generate the spirituality henceforth. Why? You don't act good only when you're near the monks. You got to act good after you see the monks as an inspiration. Does everybody understand? Okay, good.
But you say that the kids, you know, when they're young, they already start to meet
them. How do you feel about that? You want that for your kids, don't you? If your kids were here and you made them give every single day, how would they grow up? Would they be less materialistic? Would they earn a living? Would they look for a livelihood and go for education but with a different attitude? Would they be less materialistic? Would they be more giving, more open, less spoiled? That's why wherever there's spiritualism, example Dharma, wherever there is, if we expose ourselves young, we grow up with humanity. It's countries that they get rid of spiritual practice and they don't practice anymore. They think it's old-fashioned. They grow up highly materialistic. And when they're highly materialistic, what happens? Me. Money. Every single day we wake up, what happens? Me. Give me. What can I get? Me. Then that ends up in what? Anger. Bitterness, unhappiness. Because every morning we get up, me. Every morning we get up, give me. What can I get? What can I mooch? What can I get for free? What can I take from the other person? What can I gain? We think like that. Then when we think like that, you check yourself out. Where are you in life? What's your attitude in life? So when you see this, when you see the young boys coming out and making offerings, look at this young boy. Before he goes to school, he serves the monk. How do I know Juan explains to me? He goes and serves the monk and helps the monk back to the monastery, and then he goes to school. This is what he does before he goes to school. What do our kids do before they go to school? How do our kids grow up? Serving, humble, generosity. Look how these kids grow up. And do you see any old people here being put down? The old monks, even in a wheelchair, are fighting. They respect the people here. This culture should not be lost. Respecting Sangha. Imagine when you were very young, you were encouraged to make offerings or think of others or serve an old monk or help someone. Imagine if you were given this when you were young. How different you would be today. Just think about it. That's why Kachara culture is so important. What we're doing in Kachara is so important because we live in places that are so materialistic and we feed our children with materialism. That's why people do drugs. That's why people do alcohol, to escape the unhappiness that they have brought on themselves, but they don't know why. That's why people do drugs and alcohol, or get angry, or fight, because they're so unhappy. They're so unhappy. So you think about how important it is to do our work well, to take more responsibility, to lead our departments, to do more work, and to bring spiritualism to others. This is why it is so important. How do you teach this in a classroom? How do you teach this on the throne? How do you teach this in Gomba? You look at it and you see, and then you get an explanation, you go, oh, that's why you're in the Dharma. And if you give up the Dharma or Dharma work or anything else, I'm so sorry to say, you don't have the merits. You don't have the fortune. If you don't do Dharma work and you have the opportunity to do it so well, or while you're doing Dharma work, you're abusive, or don't do it well or dishonest, you don't have the merits. Remember I said, if you make offerings to the Buddha, you collect merit. If you smash up something against the Buddha, you collect merit. The Buddha is neutral. It's for your sake. The Dharma Center in Kachara is neutral. It's for your sake. Your Guru is neutral. The Sangha is neutral. It's for your sake. How you treat it now. So you think about all that.
It's amazing how
not where we come from. And it's young and old and all walks of life. And you know what? This is not here. It's all over Thailand, Cambodia, Burma, everywhere, the Buddhist countries, where all these stalls are ready in modern times for people to just come and make offerings because they don't have time to make the food themselves at home. Some more now, people are not living in villages, they're living in apartments. It's impossible for the monks to go through each apartment. So they prepare these places where people make the food and people can just stop by on the way to work, make an offering, jump in their car and go. You saw. It's beautiful. So it's like modern, yet it's spiritual. It's amazing. And what else did you feel from it? Do you understand the benefits of serving the Dharma, of serving the Sangha? And I'm talking in a general way, all over, any service to the Dharma. When you're doing this, do you not feel a sense of happiness and peace? Yeah, just for that 1 hour, you feel a good focus, a spirituality, a kind of calmness. I did. Although we're rushing back and forth to get more food because we're running out, I felt a great amount of calmness. How did you feel from this experience?
The motivation behind that is to get something back for themselves.
Always to get something back. Always.
And,
if they don't, they go away. Even after 5-10 years, they will go away if they didn't get what they want. And you're like, but why did you... You're supposed to practice the Dharma and transform. You're supposed to live the Dharma, not try to get something, and then when you don't get it, you go away. That shocks me. It shocks me.
So it's very nice to see like how humble people are. Even the monks when they receive their merit.
How beautiful it is when the monk is doing benediction for you. Right? How do you feel, Waiming?
I felt that if I had done this when I was a child, I had the opportunity to offer to the monks. I think my entire life would have been quite different.
Well, it can still be different the rest of your entire life. You see, you always speak in past tense. If I had done this when I was younger, my life would be different. And that's kind of an excuse for not making a change now. I hear that thousands of times from people. If I only had that, if I only had this. Well, you have it right now. And in fact, right now, it's even better than last time because now you have a fully thinking, operational brain. In fact, it's even better. So how will you take this back with you?
I would like to share the experience I had here, maybe with my colleagues and people back home, that it's different in countries where Buddhism is more prevalent.
All feeling is different, isn't it? Look at the morning here. They're chanting. You hear chanting. You see monks. You see young people servicing the monks. See? Look at the young boys before they go to school. They carry everything for the monks and they escort the monks back. Look at this. Imagine if our kids can do this. Imagine if our kids grew up doing this. Look at the kid with a handphone and carrying the monks. Fine. Technology and spirituality. Look. If our kids can do this. All of you who have kids, when you go on vacation, don't go to tourist places and just lay out on the beach and waste your time. When you have kids, if you have kids, you should bring them to these type of places. Yeah, if you have kids, you should bring your kids here on vacation and have them experience this. Wake up and do it.